Somebody know that you're glad to see him in church this morning. Amen. And have a seat, because you're going to get blessed even more. Glory to God. Now, I know not all of you that are here today were here last week, but I gave you all a little bit of homework I wanted you to do. That was to start to pursue, like it says in 1 Corinthians 14, it says, to pursue, to make it your great quest, the love of God. And it comes by revelation. I mean, we're not talking the having a nice new puppy kind of love. We're not about having a nice brand new shiny pickup kind of a love. We're not even talking about the human love between each other. We're talking about the God kind of love. Because we are loved children of a loved God. Everything He created, everything that reflects who He is in His person, His divine nature, is love. But yes, so many times we as Christians, we're not really all that hooked up with it. Either we don't know, or we just assume some things, or we've been taught wrong that somehow God's not happy with you, that somehow everything's based on your performance, because that's the way the world works. That's the way we've been trained. That's the way we've been brought up. You get what you deserve. Well, now with God's love, you get what you don't deserve. And He wants us to be hooked up with this love, but it's not going to happen automatically. It's not going to happen intellectually. It's not going to happen physically. It's only going to happen by the Spirit of God connecting with your spirit because you asked for it. Doesn't that sound complicated? The Bible says you have not because you asked not. So have you asked? God, I want to know this love. God, I want to know You. Like Paul said, in the power of Your resurrection, I want to know what this is all about. Because if you don't, you wander around aimlessly and you think that the whole goal is just going to heaven. Well, it's not. Why? If that's the goal, if that's God's original plan, then why didn't we just drop dead as soon as we made Jesus the Lord of our life and go on home to be with Him in heaven? That would have been so much simpler. I mean, you can't screw it up, right? You can't sin anymore. You're in heaven. You can't walk away from Jesus because you're standing there looking at Him. But we are here on this earth to radically push the boundaries of God's love. We are here as His representative, so if we're not walking in the God kind of love, nobody's going to want anything to do with Jesus, because that's what He is, and they judge who Jesus is by what they see in us. Talking about the unsaved world. If they don't see Jesus in you, it's no wonder that they don't want to come and be a part of us. But too many times we think it's just, well, that's just a nice thing. No, love is a verb. I don't know if you know that or not. It's like faith. It's not a noun. It's a verb. It's an action word. You're doing something with it. We are here to radically pursue and push the limits of God's love. Now, we've talked about this a couple weeks now. We're talking about the love, the God kind of love is a commandment. It's not a suggestion. That's what we're, it's the only law He gave us is to walk in love. You don't have the Big Ten. You don't have anything else that's in the Old Testament. The royal commandment is to love one another as I've loved you. Well, you can't do that unless you hook up with His love. You don't have it in you. You can't create it. You can't manufacture it. It's the only thing that the devil can't counterfeit. He can't. And it's the only thing he can't stop. Listen to me. Faith works by love. So if you want your faith to be strong, you got to be walking in the love of God. That means you got to connect with Him. And this love walk is the sole evidence of being a real Christian. They'll know that you're Christians by your love one for another. And we're talking about the God kind of love. Agape, that's the Greek word for the God kind of love. In fact, love is the very why we exist. It's the why behind the what. And if we don't grab a hold of the why we are here, which is love, then we're not going to have a very good time on this side of heaven. It's not what God wants us to enjoy. What the world throws at you, you just get the little crumbs that falls from God's table. No, not if you're pursuing His love. If you're making that your number one quest, then you're going to find a transformed life that's going to start running up on you so fast, it's going to amaze you and everybody around you. You can't do it on your own. You got to have this partnership working with the Almighty, though. That's what we've been talking about. I mean, and it only comes by seeking it, by revelation. You got to ask Him to show you. And how do you know that it's starting to work in your life? How do you know that you're getting it? I mean, we're talking about some spiritual thing, out there. How do you know when it hits, How do you know when it's starting to operate in your life? It changes you. That's the first evidence that you got a hold of it, or it's got a hold of you, and preferably both, is that it's you're beginning to change. You're not the same person you used to be. Back in the day when I was a wild child, I thought the only way I could have fun is if I was drunk or high, one or the other. You can't have fun unless you got that. And then I got a hold of the great love of God, and I found out there ain't no high like the Most High. And there's no hangover. And it don't cost you nothing. But when you open your heart to it, it just changes everything. Go, if you will, over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Because this love, if it's real, it's going to change you. I've seen people in the 26 years that I've been a minister, they get married and they don't change. So a single person gets married and they keep acting like a single person. Guess what happens in a short amount of time? You get to be a single person again. Because who's going to put up with that kind of nonsense? If it doesn't change you when you become husband and wife, then you didn't get it. You may have a piece of paper, but you didn't get it. You really didn't get it. And you can't do it your way. It's got to be God's way. That's the thing. It's got to be God's way. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look here in verse 14. It says, I love this part. It says, for the love of Christ compels us. King James says it constrains us. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all. That those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. This love will change you. You look it up in different translations, they use words like compels, controls, constrains, overmasters me, urges me on, hems me in. I like what the Message translation says this way. It says, Christ's love has moved me to such extremes. His love has the first and the last word in everything we do. I like that. Does it line up with love? Remember when everybody used to, years ago, they had these bracelets that said, what would Jesus do? The WWJD, you know. Just put the initials on there so somebody would ask you, what's WWJD? Well, I'm glad you asked. But truth be told, it needs to be seen on you, not just as a bracelet, but as in a lifestyle. It compels us. I love this. Like he said, his love has a first and last word in everything we do. See, if love is in charge of your life, if you've connected with his love, it nudges you to think and act the way that love would. It sees every enemy as a future friend. Right now, we're experiencing this in our everyday walking around life. I mean, you can't turn on the TV without finding somebody that is upset about somebody about something else. We hate this and we hate that and this and that. And if you disagree with me, then you're just a right-wing homophobe. Well, wait a minute. Time out, pal. Unfortunately, as Christians, we are guilty of throwing gas on that fire. If we respond in a way where we're just living out of our emotions, if our emotions have the first and the last word in how we act as a Christian, I feel this way, so it must be right, then we're no better than anybody else. We're just as carnal. We're just as bankrupt. We're just as deceived as all the people and all the crazy things that we see going on around us. Remember, when the New Testament came into being, after Jesus went back to heaven and the church got started on the day of Pentecost, it was a whole lot worse than it is right now. I mean, it was nuts. Everybody doing their own thing. You had all these different pagan religions out there. Even your home religion of the Jews, you know, that the temple, they started hating on you, killing you. Romans decided you were a threat. We got to wipe you out. How'd they do it? How do we still have Christianity today? They grabbed a hold of love. Didn't Jesus say in the Beatitudes, you got to love your enemy? Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who despitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you. Honey, that ain't easy. And you're not going to do that on your own. Because there's a part of you that wants to fight back. There's a part of you saying, how can you be so stupid and still remember how to breathe? Come on. We look at all the nonsense that's going on, these people that want to tear our country apart, rip it this way and rip it that way, and anybody don't agree with them, we got to destroy them. Can we love those people? You better. You ain't going to change anybody by being just like them. You can't fight back the way the world fights. Can I just tell you that right now? It don't work. You may get a warm, fuzzy feeling because you just let it all out. Rah, 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 and you got your, I will give you my peace of my mind. Some of you got to be careful. You ain't got that much to give away. Makes you feel good for just a little bit because your anger. Anger is an amazing emotion. It gives you a sense of satisfaction for just a little while. And then it all blows up in your face again. It's like an alcoholic who's dealing with depression. He drinks because he's depressed, so when he gets done drinking, he feels good for just a little while, but now he's even more depressed after he's done drinking. So what's he going to do? He's going to go back and do more drinking, but he gets even more depressed because the alcohol takes away the serotonin and the epinephrine in your brain that are kind of like your happy chemicals that come out. After a while, all you got's the liquor, and you ain't getting any better. But if you're walking in the love of God, if you got a hold of it, if you're pursuing it, because honey, I'm telling you what, God is not going to hold it back from you. He is not. That is the number one thing He wants you to get a hold of. He wants it so bad. He wants it far more than you want it. And all you got to do is ask. All you got to do is get real. I'm telling you what, no, it ain't easy. It ain't like, you know, cream puffs and sugar plums and Twinkies and ho-hos for everybody. We're going to have ice cream, by the way, after church today, so I'm messing with you just a little bit, but we'll have the good stuff later. Love will hurt you. God's kind of love. I'll tell you, this has been tough on this old cowboy. I'm studying this stuff up so I can bring it to you, and I'm telling you what, every single time I'm doing it, God's convicting me of where I ain't living it like I'm supposed to be living it. Can I just be real about it? But God's doing it in a way that allow me to repent. No condemnation, a lot of conviction. Ooh, ouch. Hurt so good. But He's shown me some ways that I myself have built up roadblocks in my life because of how I'm doing as far as walking in love that's robbing me from the blessings of heaven. Who would want that? God said, you keep doing that, I can't bless you. You keep doing this over here, you ain't going to get the good stuff. Oh, you may feel good for a little while, but it's going to stop everything. Your faith's not going to be there in the degree that you need it to be able to overcome everything that this world's throwing against you. You're here to represent me. What do they do when they nailed Jesus to the cross? What do they do when they whipped him with a crown of, or, you know, put the crown of thorns on him and then hit him with a cat of nine tails? He loved him. Hanging on that cross, he said, Father, please forgive them. I don't know about you, but I would not be in a forgiving mood right then. My flesh would be saying, oh, the Bible said there were 10,000 angels sitting there watching all this go down. All he had to do was say one mumbling word, and it was all over but crying. There would have been nobody standing, and Jesus would have just, he wouldn't have put up with all that stuff. But love took him to the cross. Do you realize God's love would take you to the cross? Where you want to have things a certain way? And you feel that you've got all the right and you got the everything that God, I got the promises of God. Well, sometimes God will test your love. Did you know that? He ain't tempting you, He's testing you. God's more concerned about your character development than any other thing. That's right. Oh, He wants you blessed. Every daddy does, right? I mean, when we had our reunion yesterday, of course, I had the great idea that they got these cool things. I don't know if you guys know it or not. Where you can hook it up to a garden hose and it'll make 100 balloons in 60 seconds. Water balloons. And when they spit off the end of the straw, you got this little thing with a little thing that you screw onto the hose, and it's got like 33 fingers. So he takes three of them to make 100. But on the end of every one of those fingers is a little bitty old balloon with a rubber band around them. This is America, man. I'm telling you what. Is this a cool country or what? So anyway, you fill them all up, and they all get big at the same time, and then they fall right off the end of the straw when they're full enough, and they just sit there in the bucket, ready to go. I made up 200 of them. I needed help carrying that thing back over to where we were having the pavilion for our reunion, you know. And all the little kids got all jacked up on having a water balloon fight. And it was all fun and games, so they kind of took a look at me. So anyway, they're starting to do their water balloon fight. I got 200 water balloons in this big old Rubbermaid tub for them and all this stuff. And well, I had to go to the little pastor's room. So when I came back, they're still doing their thing because 200 balloons takes a little while, even for a bunch of kids. So anyway, they found out that if they threw the water balloon at you, it just hit you and then fall off, and then it would break. It wasn't like you wanted where it just boosh when it hits you, you know. So what they decided they'd do is that my son showed them this. He's the troublemaker. Well, he's a chip off the old block. Anyway, where you take the two balloons and you go up and you squish them and then they bust in front of them and then they get all wet. So anyway, I'm walking back. They're having their water balloon fight. I'm just kind of cruising along, you know, right past the bucket. What was I thinking? So, yeah, first thing you know, I got one kid runs out to me and whoosh right in my face, so I'm all wet here. And I'm like, well, here you go. Got nobody to blame but myself. So I keep on walking. Sure enough, they went back, got two more, and whoosh right across the back of me. So I'm wet head to toe, laughing my head off, having a good time. You know, the world wants to get you into anger. It wants to get you over into all kinds of ways to stop you from getting the blessings of heaven. The devil cannot stop you. But he's good at convincing you to stop yourself. And one of the best places he works on is in your love walk. Because how many of you know there are a whole lot of irritating people out there? You just take one drive down Hamburger Alley and don't tell me that you didn't get irritated. For their creative driving. I mean, if the city cops would just park out there, they would solve the city budget in about a month from all the tickets that they write. Because there are some dumb people out there. But you see, when it comes to our love walk, we got to remember, if it matters to God, it's got to matter to us. And it was everything that Jesus came to do. Why did he heal blind Bartimaeus? Because he loved him. Why did he do that to the woman with the issue of blood? Because he loved her. Everything that Jesus did was because of love. And that, the Bible says, the love of God's been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So you got it. You just don't know how to walk in it. It's already there. The seed is already there. See, the lordship of Jesus. If I'm going to make him my Lord, it's all about me grabbing a hold of that love and letting that love grab a hold of me. I don't have to obey. I get to obey. I know obey doesn't sound really good nowadays in the culture that we're living in. Because it's anything goes. Woohoo, if it feels good, do it. If you don't get caught, it ain't wrong. Illegal's just a sick bird, you know. But you see, when the love of God gets a hold of me, man, it changes everything. When that love of God gets a hold of you, you don't act or speak or think based on your feelings. Are you listening to me? Because your feelings want to be in charge. Do you realize when you was lost and going to hell that you was that way because your feelings were in charge of your life? They affected your thinking, they affected your speaking, they affected your doing. Feelings are there to help you to understand more about your soul. They are not there to direct the steps of your life. That'd be like me. I got it late and he's 4 years old. Man, he is. It's funny, a little boy. That testosterone is working from day one. You can tell right away they got a guy brain. Come on, ladies, am I telling you the truth? Difference between a little boy and a little girl, you can tell right away. See, if I let my feelings direct my life, it'd be like handing Layton the keys to my car and telling him, go ahead and have fun. See you later. You think it's going to end out well?
No.
Absolutely not. Well, he's not going to be able to step on the gas. He sure ain't going to reach the brake. But he could put it in gear. Run into the tree. You know something bad's going to happen if you do that for a kid. Why would we think it would be any different if we let our feelings, which by the way are not born again, are not renewed, are not transformed, direct the steps of our life? See, if love is the dominant thing in my life, if it's become the first and the last word in everything I think, say, and do, then my feelings are not running the show anymore. So, in fact, the Bible even tells us in 1 Corinthians 13 that, you know what, your feelings, you don't even notice when somebody does you wrong. Love takes no account of a suffered wrong. And it's so important for us to understand this because it's the life he's called us to live. Go over here to Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, Jesus died for us all. Think about it for a minute. I cannot get mad at the Democrats. I cannot talk evil about the homosexual community. Listen to me. Why? Because Jesus died for them too. Whether they know it or not, whether they're walking in it or not, whether they're being a bunch of hypocrites or not, is totally irrelevant. Means nothing. So I need to be praying for them instead of when they're sitting there talking to you on the TV going, liar, shut up, all this other kind of stuff. We get all riled up and think somehow it's righteous indignation. No, it ain't your feelings taking over. See, if Jesus died for one of us, he died for all of us. God so loved the whole cotton-picking, dirty, rotten, messed-up world, not just you. And he didn't love you because you were so special. You were just as messed up as the rest of them. So now we can't sit back. It's like, you ever be around people that, you know, that had smoked for years and finally they gave up the habit? What do they do whenever they get around somebody that lights up a cigarette? Man, they're all over them like a chicken on a June bug, man. And they were a smoker once before in their life. Cut them some slack, man, you know. That wouldn't have worked for you if somebody got in your face just because you lit one up. Love transforms every conversation. Love builds bridges. Emotions build walls. Are you listening to me? Because if I'm walking in love, I don't see anybody as my enemy. If I'm walking in love, I'd be just like Jesus. You know what the funniest thing about Jesus? One of the biggest raps that he got when he was walking the earth, that he was a friend of sinners. Can they say that about you? You got any friends that are sinners? I mean dirty, rotten, rank, smelly, awful sinners. You ought to. How else are you going to be salt and light? Salt don't do a thing if it's just sitting in the salt shaker. Are you listening to me? That love that's on the inside of you means that you're going to be attracting people like that into your life. And you don't have a bony finger because you know, man, that was me. But if you only knew the love that I know, you'd give up all that other stuff that's killing you and you'd get a hold of it. You know, it's the love that transforms people. Bible says it's the goodness of God that brings men to repentance. Now, you may want to go about it saying, well, you know, I heard about it the old-fashioned way. I'll just scare the hell out of them. Make them so terrified of sin that they'll become a Christian. I haven't found that to work very well. But what I have found is that if you become a friend with them and you're influencing them more than they're influencing you, that love wins every time. You bring them out of darkness into his marvelous light. Colossians 3, chapter 3 and verse 1 says, if then you are raised with Christ, is that you? I'm born again. Anybody here born again? I'm raised with Christ. I'm seated with Jesus in heavenly places. It says, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil, desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another. How you doing today, brother? I'm doing just fine. Thank you very much. No, you're not. If you're doing so fine, maybe you ought to notify your face, because your face says you ain't doing good at all. I got a niece that was at the reunion. She sat over on the far end of the pavilion. Her face was just sad. Man, she wasn't talking to hardly anybody. Her sister come around and, you know, needle her a little bit. But other than that, she just sitting there with a big grin. I finally went over there and sat and talked. I did her wedding. Marriage fell apart. The guy she married was a dope fiend and it just liked to beat her up all the time. Gee, I wonder why the marriage ended. I went over there, sat down, talked to her. Sarah, how you doing? I'm fine. How many of you know that she wasn't telling me the truth? If you're hurting, say so. If you need prayer, say so. I don't want you to tell me all the dirty, rotten, little bitty itch-bits details about it. I just want to know, man, you're hurting, man, yeah. You know, I'm dealing with a situation with a friend. I don't need to know any more details than that. Well, let's pray. I can't help you, but I can help you get to the one who does, the one who can. But you got to have that transparency on the inside of you. I'm not going to be rejected because I'm not perfect. Guess what? Ain't none of you are perfect. Not even close. You are so far away from perfect, it's ridiculous. But in God's eyes, he sees you through the blood of Jesus. So it's okay. It's okay. And if we're all walking in love, then it's okay if you're just sitting there and saying, man, I'm hurting. Nobody wants to know all the details. We're not into a big gossip session. We're just going to pray for you because we believe that love will fix it because love never fails. Put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Don't lie anymore to each other since you put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. All transformation that you have in your life, everything that's changing you in your life is a love-based thing. It's based on love, not simple behavioral modification. That's what the psychologists call it. Well, we just have to modify your behavior. Sounds like you take an old car and they tune it up. No, you ain't an old car. You are an eternal being. You are a spirit that has a soul that lives in your body, and they haven't figured out how you work yet. They can't even figure out everything on the physical side of who you are, let alone what's going on the mental side of who you are. But God does. God, that love will displace everything in your life that's from the old carnal way of living. It's the easiest way to get your life working like it's supposed to be working. Let's pursue that love. First of all, go vertical. Go to the source. Right? Remember back in the day when cars were first rolling out, you know where you had to get your gas? You got it at the drugstore. And it came in little cans. You go to the drugstore today, ask for a can of fuel so you can put some in your little tin Lizzie. They'll look at you like you fell out of a well. You got to go to the source. You got to go to the gas station. If you want a full tank, fill it up. You want to put in 25 cents worth? You better not squeeze the trigger because you jump over 25 cents the way it is anymore. It's like, oh, no. I can remember for the longest time growing up, you know, put a couple bucks in the car. That'd give you 6 gallons. Tells you how old I am. Graduated in 72, gas was under 40 cents a gallon. And if there was a price war, if there was a gas war going on, you'd get it for under 20 cents.
Yeah, we used to run to Battle Creek.
Yeah. Crazy, man. But if you want the love of God, you got to go to him. He'll show you. This is it. This is where it works. It's already in you. Let's do this part. Okay, now let's do that part. And before you know it, man, it's taking over. And all of a sudden, you can't quit grinning. See, this love that really matters changes you. Think about it. I was reading this thing last week about a church that had stepped forward because the library or whatever that was going to host this LGBT whatever event had to cancel at the last minute. Remember, they're not our enemy. They're just people that don't know Jesus. So this church stepped forward, and they said, well, we'll host it at our place. Now, automatically, about 99.9% of Christians are going, I don't think you ought to do that. I'm telling you what. Why not? Why not? What would love do? You can't influence them if you're not touching their life with something good. People don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. Did you know that? The church has become famous in the eyes of everybody that's going to hell for everything that we're against, not what we're for. And the number one thing that we are for is the love of God. I want more of it functioning in my life, but the thing is, I can't get any more till I give away what I got. Now, when I first read that, I thought, what the heck? Is this another one of these gay-affirming kind of, you know, compromised church that's lost its soul? I don't know. I didn't read enough. They didn't give you enough information to know from that. But then it just sort of kicked into me. Of course, he's studying about God's love. He'll start kicking you in the pants. Why are you thinking that way, boy? You know? You can't build anything on a negative. Nobody ever has. Nobody ever will. What if it was something that church was doing to reach the lost in the gay community? Is that a terrible thing? You know, it's funny. Back years ago, I think we were about 3-4 years old as a church. And there was this individual in our town that was a transsexual. They'd gone through the, it was a he that became a she. Had the surgery, taken the pills, you know, medication, all that stuff. It was Stephen, then called Stephanie. Well, Stephen had met Stephanie, however you want to call it. Anyway, this person met with an individual from our church in downtown Coldwater. Most everybody knew this guy was not right. I mean, 2 seconds in the presence, you're going, I don't care how much you self-identify as something. If God didn't make you that way, it's awkward, okay? And so anyway, this individual is working as a librarian out at the women's prison. Got saved downtown Coldwater. Been going to the Catholic church, hiding in the back of the sanctuary there. Hungry for God. Broken. Come on, these people are broken. It doesn't make them bad. They're just broken. They're just broken a little different than you're broken. So what? So that Sunday night, this person comes into our church. We're having church service. The church service that we were having was called a believers meeting, and it was an open mic. We had to do that. Just see how many of y'all show up. Had the microphone all set up and everything around there. You just come up and share what God's been doing in your life. Don't care how long it is, how short it is, whatever. Most people are afraid to get near a microphone. Like somehow they think it's going to suck your brains out. You know, come on. So anyway, we have this service. I'm up here getting ready for the service, and this individual walks in, and man, there was probably about half a dozen people here, but almost all of them went back and greeted this individual. I thought, yeah, this is cool. Because I could tell from the other side of the sanctuary, I didn't know the person individually, but you could tell right away something wasn't right, and you had a pretty good idea what that was. So they loved on her. In fact, towards the end of the service, she got up and shared what God had been doing in her life. Man, it was the coolest thing you ever saw. A sinner in our church. Yeah. It's like sick people in a hospital. Hello. Then we had some ding-dong come into the church right at the end of the service. They'd try to come down and bum some money off of me at my house. And I told them, let me see. That individual that came in, Stephanie said they were homeless and all that, lying through their teeth. It was in the wintertime, right around early December. So Stephanie, brand new Christian, just walking in the love of God, broken, finally gets to know Jesus for real. You can come stay at my house. Didn't know that was the invitation that happened. I found out later. That night, that bum that was lying and saying he was homeless and needed money, murdered Stephanie. Well, I ended up hearing that something had happened to her, and over the radio, I think it was. And I put two and two together in my head, and I said, oh my gosh. Went down and talked to the city police back when they had a detective on staff. This is what I know. I don't know what you can do with it, but this is what I'm... So next thing you know, they started checking, caught the person. They found out, the stuff that was stolen from Stephanie's house, they had it in their car. And it was during the Christmas season, so back in those days, they had what was called the public pulse in the Coldwater paper. Mm-hmm. You just write your opinion. Nowadays, that wouldn't be a good idea. It's like Facebook now has got all that. We know how goofy that is. So I wrote in for the first and only time in my life, I wrote in a little short thing about, the Christmas spirit isn't about, the plastic Jesus at the, in the manger on the main four corners. It isn't about Santa Claus. It isn't about maxing out your credit cards. It's about the fact that God's only son came and died for us. And then I told the story about Stephanie. I could tell you the minute the paper came out because I got a phone call from a so-called Christian woman who chewed me out up one side and down the other. In that little narrative that I wrote, she got saved before she was murdered. Isn't God good? I got chewed out as being the worst reprobate, horrible human being on the planet. I got two butts in while she's just chewing me out on the phone. She don't want to hear what I got to say. Sinner! I was like, but I didn't get a chance to put any word in. What? Love won. I said, love one out. Bible says all of heaven rejoices when one sinner repents. How are they going to repent if they don't know that God loves them? They're living a lie. I don't care whether it's a homosexual lie or any other kind of lie. That brokenness is being held together by a lie, and the only thing that set them free is the love of God. Because you can't have truth without love, not when you're walking with God. He says, speaking the truth in love, we'll grow up into all things, even Christ. Think about it. You can only love God as much as the person that you love the least. You're thinking about that. Let me say it again. You can only love God to the degree of the person that you love the least. You got some people that just, man, you got no love for them at all. I'll tell you what, if I can give you any kind of thing, I'll tell you every bad thing they ever did. Guess what? You're telling us how far you are away you are from the love of God. Listen to me. 1 John says, if you say you love God and hate your brother, you're a liar. A liar. It's a word that he used. So if I'm going to draw near to the love of God, I got to love a lot of ugly people. Wasn't that what Jesus did? You can't do that unless you changed. Because it ain't easy. Your flesh don't want to love them. Your flesh want to rehearse every bad thing they ever did to you. It's crazy. You can't walk in the footsteps of Jesus doing your old thing your old way. Love matters. Love matters. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, it says this. You don't have to turn there. It says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus unto all generations, forever and ever. Amen. According to the power that works in us. Jesus can do the exceeding abundantly, you got to be kidding me, miracles. Well, what's that power that's working on the inside of us? I'm glad you asked. You read that, that's the second big prayer that Paul prays in chapter 1 in Ephesians and in chapter 3 in Ephesians. You got to read both of them. Because the one that he's talking about here in Ephesians 3:20 is talking all about the love of God. That's the power that's working in you. That's the power that determines whether he can do exceeding abundantly above all you could ever ask or think or not. Our love walk is important. It defines who you are. Let's get beyond this whole thought of just making it to heaven by the skin of our teeth. Why don't we just go all the way? Why don't we just radically pursue the boundaries of this love? You'll never find the boundaries. But it sure is fun finding out how far you can go. Because your understanding of the love of God is pretty darn small compared to what it really is. So it's worth it. It's like he said in 1 Corinthians 14, make it your pursuit, your great aim. Think about it. Love always seeks to save the lost. Did you know that? Because there's compassion on the inside of you when you know somebody ain't going to be in heaven. Man, I'll tell you what, the toughest thing I had to deal with was when my dad was in hospice. 6 months or less to live. 4-stage lung cancer. Dementia was kicking in real bad. My dad was the Iron Man of the family. Post-traumatic stress disorder from the Korean War. He was one mean son of a gun. He was tough. I had to learn how to love my dad. So I'm driving all the way up to Monroe, 90 miles to go to his house. Every week, because I want my dad to go to heaven. He was into this whole nonsensical thing, belief that, well, me and the man upstairs, we got an understanding. Of course. It was so hard for me to keep my mouth shut. But I did. Shared what I could, gotten a lot of arguments with him. Here he is, he's dying. He says, what do you think about all this? And I said, well, I think you better get your life right. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Don't worry about me. This guy terrified me as a kid growing up. So I mustered up the courage and I said, well, I'm going to talk to you about it. What you do with it after that is entirely up to you. And I told him the plan of salvation, how to get born again. He just sat there quiet. You could tell he wasn't comfortable. So I asked him, do you want to make that decision today? No. Okay. My dad's dying. Broke my heart, man. 90 miles is a long way to drive. It takes 2 hours. You're going through all these little cockamamie towns to get back to Coldwater. 2 hours. And I'm just feeling like a total failure. And then the Lord nudged me, start praying that somebody else would come across this path. So I did. About 3 weeks before he died. Born again, solid Christian friend of his, lived two blocks behind him in the subdivision, came up to see him, led him to the Lord. I could have got mad. I could have argued with him. But I did everything I could with what I understood about the love of God. And now my daddy's in heaven. Honey, it's worth it. You have no idea what you forfeit by not pursuing love. You have no idea. But as soon as you start, you'll begin to see some things percolating in your life, and all of a sudden, man, you don't want to live any other way. Any other way. Because every other way is just bad, smelly stuff. I'm tired of having God bless me in spite of what I've done instead of because of what I've done. I want to walk in love. It's a lot more fun. There's a whole lot of adventures that are out there. But you can't export it to other people if it's not working on the inside of you. If this love hasn't got a hold of you, it can't get a hold of somebody through you. Are you listening to me? How many of you got unsaved relatives? Come on, get real. You got unsaved relatives that are going to hell? If they don't get saved? Yeah. How are they going to know? It isn't about you having a snappy one-liner. It's not about you having a magic moment. It's about you walking in love. And they say, what got a hold of you? I'm glad you asked. So you give them a little bit. Watch their eyes. If they start to glaze over, just stop. That's okay. You planted a seed. Leave it alone. Just love on them. Love on them. And when you're done doing that, just love on them some more. Let them know that they matter to you, that they're important to you. I got a brother that's dead now, a younger brother. He came to know the Lord because we just kept loving on him. I'll see him someday. And that's a powerful thing. He's up there with my dad. See, if God is not challenging you every day in some fashion about your love walk, you're not paying attention. So you can do this and say, God don't talk to me. Well, yeah, he does. If you start asking him to show you what this love's all about, I want to know this love, Lord. I want it. I want it working in my life. He'll show you. And then he'll show you some ways that, you know, just do that a little differently next time. Next time I nudge you to keep your big fat mouth shut, would you please shut your tater trap and don't say what you're thinking? You get in more trouble with that nasty cut under your nose than anything else. There's times to say stuff and there's times not to say stuff. And not everybody needs to know what you know. But love. You let that start working on the inside of your life. He'll tune you. He'll tweak you. He'll help you. He'll bless you. He'll pour that love on the inside of you, and then you'll just start leaking it out. It's a good way to look at it. I'm so full of it, I'm leaking. We know some people that are full of it, and what they're leaking, we don't want. Just saying. But what if you're full of the love of God? Yeah. Your joy is going to be incredible. Little stuff that used to just tear you up don't even bother you anymore. You're in a crisis situation, a crunch has happened, the doctor told you something, some bill came in the mail, whatever. You're like, God's got this. Because I know he loves me. And I'm going to walk in his steps. I'm going to do things his way for a change. Your life will never, ever, ever be the same. See, the true essence of Jesus' life is that he lived in love. He revealed true love to the whole world. To the people that hated his guts and were going to kill him, he just showed love. Think about it. It upended the Roman Empire. It brought Christianity has survived to today because of one thing, love. If we ever abandon that, we're going to lose everything we gained. And communion that we're about to participate in right now is all about that love. Realizing that the love of Christ is on the inside of me right now. So now I'm going to do something with it. Now I'm going to find out how it works. I'm going to do this. I bought my wife. She didn't know I was going to do this. It was kind of fun. I like blessing my wife. Come Groundhog Day, it'll be 46 years and still on her honeymoon. Wow. She's the coolest gal in the world. So we're going to go up to Battle Creek and, you know, let's go out to eat. So we like going up there and, you know, they got a lot more restaurants than we got down here. So, and on the way up there, I'm cruising along and I just turned into this big old shopping center. She's going, where are we going? There's no restaurant back in here. She's just chattering along. I'm like, I didn't spill the beans. I didn't tell her what I was going to do. Remember, love keeps your mouth shut sometimes. Pulled up in front of Best Buy. She goes, what are we doing? She's thinking, well, you know, we got some things we wanted for the computer at the church, Wendy's, and so she's thinking all this stuff, and I'm letting her think it. It's great. Zzz, I got her, you know. Went in there, and I got her a brand. She got two Apple iPads that were given to her. They're like dinosaurs. Yes, they don't hardly work worth a darn. So I went in there and bought her a brand new one for herself. She stared at that thing, and I walked in. I told the guy, I said, I want to see your iPads. She's like, now she's catching on a little bit, you know. Anyway, oh, yeah, and he takes us back there, a real good salesman guy. And so he's showing them all that were there, and I said, which one do you want? And then she realized what the jig was up. But it doesn't matter if you get an Apple iPad. You got to know how to run this stupid thing. It'll do everything but slice the bread on the counter in the kitchen. But it's in there. It's like me. I got a smartphone. Don't make me any smarter. You know, you can do absolutely everything. I use it as a phone. It'll do everything. Got more computing power than the first, astronaut had going off into outer space in your phone, in your back pocket. Same thing with love. It can do a lot of amazing stuff. Are you going to dig in and find out what it's going to do? I just challenge you. If you haven't done it last week, or maybe you're just here this week and you weren't here last week, please just ask God to show you what you need to know about His love. Keep asking Him. And then read these love letters, 66 love letters from addressed to you personally. Start reading it. And I'll tell you what, God will be more than happy to oblige you. Because it's all about love. Beginning to end, everything. And I mean everything about your Christianity came from love to fill you with love so that you can give love. Boy, isn't that simple? I like that. He loves you so much, He'll take you just like you are, but He loves you too much to let you stay that way. Because why would He let you get robbed, you know? But that's what we're going to do. Could we have the ushers this morning? Got to hurry up. We got 7 minutes and we got ice cream waiting. Can you feel the love? With sprinkles and caramel and whipped cream and chocolate. Yeah, buddy. Nice, cool afternoon. All the shade in the JC house backyard. Man, I'll tell you what. But the sweetest part is right here. So if you will, just go ahead and take it. There's two cups, one on top of the other. Bottom one's got the bread in it. Makes it quicker, you know, to get it everybody's served. But I want you to look at that and remember the love that it represents. It represents what Jesus did for you and me. That He allowed His body to be broken and He shed His blood on that cross for one reason. Love.
That's right.
Love. It would be doggone foolish of us just to go, well, that's nice, and move along. The power of God is found in the love of God. And He wants you to be very powerful. Very powerful. Oh, yeah. So that everywhere you go, the love of God follows right with you. The love of God just walked into Walmart. Cool. A target-rich environment. Love is awesome. Take a look at the cup with the bread in it. Just look at it. It represents the body of Jesus Christ. Oh, I know, it's just unleavened bread. But if you'll let your heart connect with it, it represents everything that was done for you on Calvary. when he laid down his life willingly, went to hell in your stead, paid for all of your sins, whipped the devil in his own backyard, and rose again from the grave. Woohoo, doggies. Love did all of that. Love defeated death. And love has been given to you. Take the bread and eat it. In memory of him. Thank you, Lord, that your love is on the inside of us right now. Now look at the cup. It's just grape juice. But it represents the blood of Jesus. He said, as often as you do this, remember me. Remember me. I remember his death until he comes. What it stood for, what it released into the hearts of every believer, in the blood of Jesus. Set us free from the law of sin and death. Put us into the law of love. Amen. Take the cup and drink it. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Your master plan was so simple, the devil never saw it coming. You sent your son that day, grew up amongst us, put up with every kind of ridicule and shame as a child, was filled with the Holy Spirit, revealed the supernatural power of your love that healed people, that delivered people, that raised people from the dead. That same love is today on the earth in us. Help us, Heavenly Father, to walk in it, to understand it, to tap into it and to grow and let it begin to transform our lives in such a way that we would never, ever, ever consider going back to that old, weak, and beggarly life that we had before, that we'd walk in victory and have more joy than we ever thought was possible. And Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. God is good.
Thank you, Harold.
Yeah. Love's a big deal. Really matters. Let it transform you, okay? Now, if you got kids,